the bomb around. We saw the specialists. Bastardo!
Show with Nick Crow and take a bonus speed to hitting cruise control. Jane Lynn, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the boom all the way to the room. Renegades and Street Fighter help to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life for Timothy Green. Sharp needle, the birdemic, how we staying alive. They call him the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause the bad Jim Varney looking kinda nice. All the June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the shots in the pain. They're just a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get paid?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Los Angeles! We are live at Largo talking about a modern-day classic. A movie about love, a movie about revenge, and a movie about very precise bombs. If you've not seen The Specialist, what do you need to know? Stallone makes bombs. Well, both kinds, really, if you think about it in the history of the show. But in this movie, Stallone makes explosive bombs. Sharon Stone wants revenge on the people who murdered her parents, so she wants to do it with, you guessed it, a bomb. Because as she says, it's more precise than a gun. We'll get into all of that. But there are many twists and turns along the way that are dealt out in the most nonchalant way. No underscoring, no turn of music where you're like, oh, I guess that's what's happening now. Great. It's like someone's telling you a story, but they don't know how to add in like any emotional elements to it. I can't wait to break this all down, and I'm going to do it with my two co-hosts. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks? How are we doing, Largo?
Jason, have you ever seen The Specialist?
Paul? Shockingly, no.
Same. I
and
don't know how I missed it.
I want to say, for the record, shame on me.
Shame
because
on me, yes.
This movie is awesome. I would watch it right now with everyone here instead of doing the show. Because no notes except to say, boobs? Yes. Explosions? Yes.
You got, and James Woods.
Woodsy.
I feel like is like, take your script and leave it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
You call action and I will just start screaming at anyone nearby. And that's the movie.
And I'm here for it. But you know what?
He must have been furious that he was not in the trailer.
Oh.
Furious.
I have some dirt about why James Woods is not in the trailer.
I want to hear it.
And we'll get into all of the James Woods stories because it really is prime Stallone ego stuff. Oh.
You're saying that Stallone's ego is part of the problem with this movie? A movie that somehow fetishizes his body more than Sharon Stone's? Let's go.
Let's get into all that. But first, let me introduce my other co-host. Please welcome a person who fetishizes Sylvester Stallone's body more than anyone, June Diane Raphael.
I hear you screaming, save it off
Nicole,
there.
Yeah, our special guest had something to say and we need to conserve and we need to economize and we can't talk about it
I know. And I've tried to move forward. I tried to move forward. We won't. How are you, June?
I'm well. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. You're looking very nice tonight. Great to see
thanks.
You.
Thanks.
June, your thoughts out of the gate on The Specialist.
So, I also had not seen it, and yet I feel I have. I feel it was very strange watching it because I thought for sure this was a movie I watched with both parents, like sitting in between them in 1994. Like I was 14 years old, and I know I watched this on TV with a parent.
There is something that is so similar to many movies that were made in this period. They all had like a similar vibe. It was like a movie for adults.
Well, you know, this is the era of the like erotic noir, like neo-noir, noir story of
Sliver,
like
Sliver, Jade, exactly. All these things.
Basic Instinct. This is 3 years after or 2 years after Basic Instinct.
I mean, this is better than Basic Instinct. I don't know. We'll get into it.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
And I've got real thoughts about how to really make it sing.
We're going to get into all of that, but we must welcome our special guest. She's a How Did This Get Made all-star. She is the star of the hit NBC sitcom Grand Crew, which you can watch on Peacock and on NBC. You know her also as the host of Nailed It. Her stand-up special on Netflix has to be watched. Please welcome Nicole Byer!
My feet don't touch the floor. What are these chairs?
I'm in this one over here. I'm in this guy over here.
I'm having fun at the show.
Yeah. You look like you're doing a Lily Tomlin character. Baby Nicole over here. Nicole, welcome back. You are a favorite of ours, but you are a favorite of the audience of How Did This Get Made? Because I will say that when we didn't have guests for a long time, the number one person people wanted back was you.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, thank you.
People always like, get Nicole back on. Where's Nicole? And now you're here, and I feel like we brought you in with a good movie.
Boy, oh boy, I had a great time. Oh my God, it was like trying so hard to be sexy. But then his hands were too big to be sexy. Like, the sex scene reminded me of the hot dog scene and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes.
Like, his hands were just, like, patting her head.
Oh. Yes.
At one point, they close up on them kissing, and he's kissing below her lips. Like, down
here.
And
I also feel like, can you be Sharon Stone for a second, Nicole?
Uh-huh.
Actually, no, you be Sly. Stand up for a second. I feel like she was always behind him.
Always behind him.
And he was like, he would turn, you could see his like thighs.
Yeah.
And then he would just be like,
he was being hands.
He would just be like, ugh.
Yes.
Was he?
Yes.
I
mean, was
like,
he?
Is this?
Somehow Sly was more naked than Sharon Stone.
1,000%.
At all times. I was like, trying to look around him. It was really fetishizing him.
He was demanding to get his body in a very sensual, feminine way on camera.
Constantly.
And front of camera.
Like, do you feel
like she leaves him? She's like, I got to get out of here. And he's like in the tussled bed like.
This is a movie where he is
wrecked.
He's embracing his feminine. And I think that's beautiful. But I also feel like there is something about him where he was like, I know Sharon Stone is one of the most attractive women right now and people want to see her naked, but I think they'll want to see me more. Like, it's like the main attraction at this point, like, oh, the person from Basic Instinct, oh my God, oh, sexy. He's like, no, I think I can out-sexy her.
But here's the crazy thing too, is it's so clear that the actor wants to get his body out to the American people. And I'm like, well, you're playing, but he's playing a bomb maker, I think.
Yes.
He's a specialist.
But like, that doesn't actually require, I don't think, any physical.
I'm so sorry.
Strength or
June,
fortitude.
One might argue.
June, but have you read any of the novels that suggested this movie? Did everybody see the credit at the beginning of the movie?
Yes, I took a picture of it because I was like, what the fuck?
It says,
suggested by the specialist novels by John Shirley. suggested by.
Here, Jude.
What? What does that mean?
Here is the thing. I mean, I will just say...
Hinted at in the novels of... Like, here, what June. The fuck
it
is
alluded
this?
Alluded to...
June, look, I took a picture.
What is that suggested
Because I couldn't believe it. I was like, why is it just suggested and not based on?
This credit is like, when I was like, oh, this is going to be so good. Because you know it's only suggested by because Stallone must have rewritten everything.
So you're saying that the novelist, that John Shirley himself, was like, I don't
this want... This no longer represents my work.
This is a mere suggestion.
My guess is the character... Because the character in the movie, the specialist, the Stallone character, is supposed to have been trained by James Woods. That would make him young. And he's somehow a decade older than James Woods? James Woods is his boss? What are you talking about?
Here's what we know about Stallone. And I love this fact, and I'll repeat it nonstop. When he made the movie Cobra, it was based on a book. And Stallone met with the author and said, what I'd like to do is put my name on the book as the author. And the author's like, no. He's like, no, you don't understand that when the movie comes out, more people will buy your book if they see that I wrote it. He's like, but you did it. I'm the author of the book. And he's like, dude, don't be a dick. And so Stallone does have this habit because this character of the specialist, his name is Earl Quick. They don't keep even his name. So it's like they bought the rights to the specialist and the character's Earl Quick. And they're like, throw all that out. We like bombs. And that's what they focused on. That's it. The bombs are the only part of the story.
That's
the suggestion.
Yeah. Interesting.
I want to get into the sex scene, but I also want to walk it back say that the opening scene takes place, you know, in this country where they are trying to kill a drug lord with a bomb. A series of bombs. And how are they going to do it? Blowing up a bridge. So the intel is, we know the drug dealer's coming. He's going to be driving a Jeep. Let's blow up a bridge. No one's like, how about a sniper? No. Bombs. And is a bomb going to blow up the bridge? No. It's just going to blow up the truck. So the truck flies off the bridge. The bridge will stay intact.
Survive? What if people survive? And don't worry, the Jeep is going to collapse like it's made of cardboard. Because that's what happens when it hits the water. It's like, fold. And there is a child. Once again, we're doing a movie where it begins with infanticide. They're like, you know how we can get you on board for this movie? Our hero kills a child.
By accident.
He tries to save. But he locks eyes with that kid when she gets blown up. And you know a fetish is born.
The way he runs over, his lips are so loose. Do you know what I mean? They just jiggled in a way that I was like, how is that happening?
His lips, and I do want to, going back to the sex scene very briefly, when he locks onto her, it's like an octopus because it's like, it's not like a kiss. It's like I have now suctioned my mouth onto yours and it's like implanting an alien embryo from the movie Alien. Like, blah. Like, it's like his lips, there's a lot going on
there. It was very upsetting.
It's so long, the sex scene.
Oh my God, that butt. Also, they're in the shower. That's the biggest shower in the history of showers.
You're fully
missionary on the floor of a shower?
When they go to the floor in the shower, I'm like, ew! It's a fucking hotel shower!
I wrote the same thing. That is a hotel shower floor. They have, for real, like Last of Us fungus going on now. Like, it is game over for them.
The bed is a mere 4 feet away! Yeah. Just dry off, fuck on the bed.
They started on the bed, right. And then they said, we got to get in that shower.
We see more of Stallone's body than Sharon Stone's.
Absolutely.
You do. Yeah, and the way he straddled her on the bed, I was like, what is that?
It was like, it was like the scene where it's like she's taking his clothes off.
Yes, it was wild.
A gender flip-flop.
Because he was like, my body is the gift.
I'm good. Yes. It's basically
you're
like,
welcome,
unwrap
everybody.
Me.
Yes,
they
I'm the present.
Me to be unwrapped.
I'm what you've paid for. Sir, no, we haven't.
The only sexy thing that happened is when he lifted her up onto him. I like when he
yes,
was straddling
I remember
and then
that
like
part. Yes.
Somehow her legs were like on the other side. I don't know how they did that, but I was like, well, that's pretty hot.
That,
but then those
that
hands.
Was one moment, Nicole. That was it.
What I think I learned from this movie is that Stallone is not good at having sex. And he was like, I'll show you some of my moves. And everyone was too nervous to say, yeah, that's weird. He's like, yeah, grab her from behind the head. I'll bring her like this. And I'll suction her mouth. And I'll throw her on the floor. I'll put her right on the sewer. And then...
And he's like,
you know,
You know, people want... They saw Basic Instinct. They want me to be sexy now. What if I'm the Sharon Stone of this movie?
God.
Also, Eric Roberts is in this movie.
As a Cuban?
As a Colombian?
Wait, was
Colombian?
He Cuban?
I mean, his
Stoddard
dad.
In this movie,
yeah,
straight
his
up.
His dad was, yeah,
his
some
name
sort
is
of
like,
Hispanic.
His
sure,
name is like, and it said like Tomas. It's
oh,
not
yeah.
Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
So they say Tomas a lot. But I want to just, again, as we're going to get back and forth in the movie, but I will say,
oh my gosh.
What I don't like about this movie is the way that they handle explosives. Because it's about an expert, a specialist, if you will, who literally, when we first see him, he's pounding explosives onto a wall like the way I pack a suitcase that's overstuffed. Like, clank, 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 clank. Like, you would think you might be a little more gentle around. Like,
well, later he gets gentle when he's covered in sweat and is wearing those tiny glasses and is like...
Right. Oh. That's right.
Right. He's a very, like, when he's putting it in a China doll's teacup.
When he's busy living in what appears to be an industrial gear factory. For the rest of the movie, Stallone detonates explosives in only public places.
Yeah.
Country club, strip club, or bar, or whatever that place was. Like, he's only blowing up. There have to be so many casualties.
No.
There are, though, because he has a special type of technology.
Yeah. He blows up, half of a building falls off.
But
the top of an entire building.
But that's planned. That was that particular
How?
Explosive. That was
but
the,
when it comes
that was
to,
the one section, one apartment explosive.
When it comes to people, it normally just shoots them out like they're in an ejector seat. Like when it kills the guy in the parking lot, the
that
seat.
Was perfect.
That was amazing.
It was absolutely perfect. That man strapped to his seat, on fire, going to the sky.
He flies up like he is ejected from an airplane from Top Gun. And yet, is the bomb in the car? No. Is the bomb under the seat? No. The bomb is in like the parking meter reader that you bit when you leave the garage. So that oddly
is
like...
Is that the bomb? I thought that was the...
The keypad was.
The keypad was the bomb, but there was nothing in front of the car.
And then it says, bye-bye. How long did it take him to get... How long did it take him to be like, oh, good, it does say bye-bye. Thank God I was able to make that work.
Bye-bye.
This guy is so long to escape. 10 seconds and 2 bye-byes.
Okay, so just riddle me this. He gets to Miami and decides to set up what type of business exactly?
Well, this is my big question because... He is constantly telling us he's not in the bomb-making revenge business, but yet he's on a private, like, internet message board called, like, Weekend Warrior, which seems like
black
market. Oh, see, I thought
market that was
shit.
His website.
It feels like this is an A-team situation, like, or an equalizer. Like, if you're in trouble, I'll help you out secretly, kind of underground, like, hero guy.
But why was he like. Rejecting her?
I don't know.
I think he was worried it was a setup.
But was he rejecting her? He was like, I like your voice.
And by the way, they're essentially having phone sex
yes.
for the first hour
yes.
of the movie.
Longer.
Yeah.
Longer. He is sensually working out, listening to recordings of their phone conversations.
That was wild.
Like, this shit is absolutely nuts. He thinks this is what we want.
You see more of him shirtless than you see of Sharon Stone. Like, throughout this entire movie. But, like, he's doing Tai Chi, but he also has this big, cumbersome earpiece in.
It's so big.
It looks like he has, like, a microphone, like the front of a microphone on the side of his ear. He's like, and he's, like, just being casual, just listening.
He's also tailing Sharon Stone. He's, like, you know, spying on her, watching her while she is... Sharon Stone, this in a noir sense, she's the femme fatale. She's inserted herself into the Eric Roberts drug lord world with his father, Rod Steiger, who appears to be doing a Desi Arnaz Jr. impression.
Bastardo.
Some next level insanity.
I heard that Rod Steiger was like, I don't need anybody. I'm just going to watch Scarface over and over again.
I thought they were just like spicy whites. I didn't realize that they were going for Cuban.
Spicy whites.
This is Rod Steiger's accent on full display.
Now, wait a minute. Give me a second here. I have to make a decision. Little time to think here, huh? Okay. You take over, okay?
Papa.
I said Trent will handle it, okay? I don't hear you saying okay. Okay. Papa. What would you say?
Okay. Papa.
That's nice. Thank you.
Lucy, we are in trouble here. It's nuts what he's up to.
It's also like drops into just Rod Steiger at points. Like, that was like a mix and match. That was not a full, like, he goes in and out of that accent, but they are supposed to be these drug lords that killed Sharon Stone's parents in front of her. She was hiding in the closet. Eric Roberts, who seems to be the same age as Sarah.
He is.
Yeah, he's the same age.
He is. But yet, it's 20 years later. She is a 6-year-old in the closet and is now Sharon Stone. Eric Roberts 20 years ago. Eric Roberts now. That should be examined.
I did like that the flashback was like a noir Lifetime movie.
Yeah, it was truly wild. And Eric Roberts was like pretty rude. He was like, hurry up. And I'm like, if I'm being murdered, can you not rush it? Take your time. Be kind.
And why were they being murdered?
We don't know.
Because they were being asked for information they didn't have. And I don't know that we ever found, it was not important.
Ever clear, yeah.
He loves murder and dancing.
What I loved about Stallone doing his research on Sharon Stone as a child, he pulls up like an old newspaper and it has a picture of the child. And it's like, Maya Sinclair's parents killed, kid's still alive. And it's like, no one would write an article like showing a picture of an alive child being like, she's alive, parents are dead. Like, you would think that they would go back. A, if they were executed, they might go back and kill her too, right? I mean, but it's also like, it feel like a weird thing to put her in the front page of the paper, like, I'm orphan. May Monroe. That was her name.
So just to go back to Stallone for a second and his work in Miami. So he is just on call in case a bomb maker is needed.
I think he comes there because she's asked him to. Because he says at one point, I don't work in Miami, but he's there.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so he's renting that ferry house?
I think he's temporarily set up shop at the gear factory.
Temporarily, Jason. It's like a 3-story facility on the water
that he has
set a computer program up. It's so weird. He walks in the house to hit a button to say no one's in the house.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If they were behind the door that you walked in on, you're dead.
He gets made immediately. He's so bad at being subtle. Eric Roberts clocks him immediately. Like, oh, that guy right there.
That interaction made me so happy. You like the bitch? You like me? I don't like you. He was like, gay, no!
He's like, no, don't get that. Don't get the wrong idea. But do look at this body. Do look at me oiled up and cum guttered out.
Would you be surprised to learn that Stallone decided to add that scene in during production? Because he's like, oh, I really want to have a scene with Eric Roberts because I don't have a scene with him.
So he picked a scene where he says one sentence?
Where he holds a knife and basically says, you're looking at me because I'm attractive. Like, it's the weirdest scene to add. It's like a threatening scene.
It also makes him appear bad at his job. Mm-hmm. You know, because he's...
But again, what is his job exactly? Because if his job is to just make the bombs...
I think
he's fine at that job.
I think he's a bomb expert for hire for people that need help dealing with some sort of situation.
But then why is he rejecting Sharon Stone? Because it seems like her situation qualifies. These three men killed my parents who were innocent and I watched them die. It doesn't check all the boxes for me.
Do you think, though, Jason, that this is his normal vetting process?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. I think his vetting process is go to a city. I think if this
Set
movie
up shop,
had
yep, get a pet.
If this movie had worked, my guess is that there are a number of other novels to suggest storylines for. Maybe he goes to Cincinnati and he sets up shop in an abandoned water warehouse. I don't know what.
Give me the biggest conspicuous thing in your city. I'll move to Chicago and own the Sears Tower. Great. No one will ever find me there. But I will say this. There's a screenwriting book called Save the Cat. It was very popular for a couple of years. And the idea was that in the first act, you would see your character do something that was nice that you get him on your side, that you'd save the cat. Here, he kills the cat, which is the child, and then also then saves the cat. Like, the movie wants it both ways. He saves the cat and kills a kid.
That was so weird. He, like, picks... He doesn't know how to hold a cat either. He's just like, oh, okay, I gotta take you home.
I'll fuck you on the sewer. Kiss your mouth.
He's like Lenny from Of Mice and Men. You think he might crush the cat or crush Sharon Stone? Or I don't know. He seems capable of murder.
Well,
also, that cat was pretty distracting. In the scene where he's sweaty, like doing the bomb, that cat's climbing a chain link fence in his house. And it's like,
I'll tell you one thing I don't want near a bomb, a fucking cat.
The way everybody treats, the bomb squad of the Miami PD is also treating bomb material very casually. strewn across, and we see them. And by the way, is James Wood a cop?
I don't know.
No, he's not.
He had access to the CIA.
Is he a cop?
No, he's not. Rod Steiger inserts him into the police department. That's the scene with the chief of police who's there.
Okay. Oh.
Rod Steiger's like, hey, I need you to make this guy
and
part of the police investigation. But what then happens is James Wood just walks into the police station and is like, you fucking idiots! I handle this! You do that! You fucking idiot! I created a bomb out of a pen! I'm crazy! James Woods is eating every morsel of screen time he is allotted. He is chomp, chomp, chomping away.
He clearly, and he's often not with anybody else, so I feel like he's like, look, these people that are in my scene, shut the fuck up. Let me cook.
Oh my God.
And he's always like,
again, running a different part of the Miami PD where they're staging a sting to try to get Stallone to call into the message boards. I don't know. And they have all of these women pretending to be Sharon Stone.
Because is he attracted to women in distress?
I think he's attracted
to phone calls with women. He's like disembodied voices.
Yeah, he likes
it. He's like, they make me so hard.
1,000% he likes it over the phone. So, but what's so crazy about that scene is that those wonderful background artists who are all, most of them are women, and I guess they're cops there, they genuinely look terrified. Truly.
They do.
Nobody in those scenes is safe.
Yeah.
I like the scene when James Woods is going to the elevator and is literally like, get a new shirt, you fucking idiot. Get my fucking way. I got, get yes. next one, next one.
There's a man who witnessed a murder, a young boy who's a car valet who's like sitting there and he's like,
poor guy.
What the fuck are you laughing at, piece of shit?
This kid is given like three sticks of dynamite. He's given like a cartoon level bomb. He looks like a Tim Balt character. He's fucking freaking out. And James Woods comes in. It's just, he's like, my whole thing is I yell at whoever I'm in a scene with. I dress yeah. them down fully. And it's incredible.
So here's wait, a, so here's you're a little, saying, one second, Paul. Yeah, so you're please. Saying that James Woods and Stallone just happened to both be in Miami?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right,
James
all right.
Woods is using Sharon Stone to draw
okay. yeah,
Stallone
out. Yeah, because
that
scene
out.
Where he hits her.
Got it. Right. Of course. Of course. Of course.
Like fucking hits her.
Oh, yeah.
And then plays with the blood on her lip. I was like, this is wild.
I did not like that. Not
I didn't like
one,
it either.
But did you like it when she slapped that woman in the bathroom?
I loved it.
Love that.
Oh, I loved it.
Because that was
love that.
The hottest thing I've seen in a while. Bam!
She pushed her.
Henry,
too.
She'll call you back. Kablam!
So
there
great.
Was elements of this that felt like Stallone was embracing his feminine side, but then there's another element of it where everyone just felt up Sharon Stone willy-nilly.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
everybody was like, I gotta touch everywhere.
Yeah, like, at the funeral, he like gets on his knees and then shoves his hand up her skirt, and I was like, Dios mios. But then, then she did have a gun, and I was like, okay, well.
What's really sad is that's not the first time someone was felt up in that church. He was just
so
he was just moved to a different parish. I wrote that
explain,
I wrote that
though,
joke down.
Can you explain?
That joke is in my notes.
Can wait, at the funeral, I really loved when James Woods comes in and he's like, open the casket. Everyone's like, what? He's like, open it. And then he goes, that bitch. That was my
favorite part of this movie.
To he's like, fuck. And
to a woman who we've heard in the eulogy as being a pillar
a
of the community.
This, a saint.
This funeral has been twice interrupted by rude white men. First of all, Stallone's like, wait a minute, what?
By the way, that was
he. I mean, like, can you imagine being at a who's that guy? Walks straight up and needs to look into the oh, that's but, not her. And then James Woods comes in, points a gun at the priest, and calls her a bitch. Those people will have questions for the rest of their
here's
lives.
The thing.
What do you think grandma was up to?
That's what I love so much about this movie. Like, there's moments like that. There's moments when Sharon Stone pushes a very nice lady and steals her phone and slaps her, where it's surprising. And I'm like, I love that this movie goes there. Now, I was trying to follow Sharon Stone's plan and how she, that whole mixeroo with that grandma. So what did she do exactly? She put her own...
Well, this doesn't entirely
I didn't understand
add
the funeral part. I did not. I literally was like, I don't know why everyone is confused. I don't know why this is even working.
What did she do?
I can tell you what it is and what's said, but there is a disconnect.
Okay. Yeah.
So James Woods is looking at the paper and he sees that a woman who has the name of Sharon Stone's alias.
I didn't know she had an alias.
She has an alias. Her funeral will be the funeral that, at
it's
that
like
church,
Arlene,
blah, 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 whatever that is.
Or other,
great.
Yeah.
So he notices that, and Oz, obviously Stallone notices it, so they both converge on that church. If James Woods had been there early enough, he would have run into Stallone. Doesn't matter.
So wait, just out of curiosity, so it just happened that her alias died at the same time as she was also...
This is where it falls apart.
What she says is that she took... That Sharon Stone went by a hospital and dropped
Somebody OD'd and she was able to make it seem as though that was her. But then that's clearly not who's in the casket.
Okay, so
that's
whoever's
where the
in
movie
the casket,
falls apart.
I see. So whoever's in the casket is not Arlene, the alias, certainly not May. It's someone altogether different.
I believe so.
Wow.
Wow.
I believe so.
Wow.
Can but I get Stallone to show up to
well,
the
Well, it does make sense
church,
because nobody else but those two people would know that alias.
Correct.
So I guess the obituary, I guess it does all check out.
Now, I don't think the woman who's being eulogized or who's being, I don't think her name matches the alias. I think
the
obituary announcement
person.
Was a fake out.
Oh boy, this is
that's confusing.
Yeah.
I also don't care that it doesn't make sense
because it's fine.
It's a home run.
Yes, it's fine.
I want to get back to the random acts of violence because there's one scene that I feel like we weren't going to be able to talk about, which is Stallone on a bus.
Oh my God. I wrote it down. It's my favorite quote of the movie. Oh. After he beats that man up.
He beats them all up. Five dudes up.
But he tries to give that lady the seat and then the guy sits down and then he beats them up and then he turns to that woman and goes, I believe there's a vacancy.
And in that moment, I was like, this guy is a straight up psychopath because he didn't just like punch a guy and knock him out. He kicks a man out of a bus window. The man is jettisoned out of a bus window.
There's no way that bus is going to continue on its route.
And that's what I'm saying. The bus is done. You fucked up the whole day. She's like, I would rather stand.
Everybody else on the bus. Their whole day is ruined. Why am I late for work and getting fired? Because some asshole kicked a guy through a window of my bus.
I also found it really funny that he always was on payphones. And obviously, that's a different time. 1984, there's more payphones. But I'll tell you where there's not a payphone. At the edge of a dock. Right? There's one moment where she's, like, looking out. There's, like a jetty. Like, it's about 20 feet off a larger dock. It's like, where should we put the payphone? Out there, maybe? Like, it couldn't be. There's no way phone lines are getting out there. And he's like, yeah, at the very tip of the dock. I was like, that was my favorite shot, him alone in a little payphone. Yep. Who's using that?
I also liked before the fight, he said, oh my glasses. Because he can't fight with sunglasses on.
I love this as a like very inspired impression for you.
It is good.
Turn on the subtitles. I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
I did that about 12 years ago. Never turned them off.
Jason has got me into subtitles.
But Jason, you watch movies
everything.
Just for fun and enjoyment, not for this, but like
subtitles.
Yeah, me too. June, you always yell at me about it.
It's a
problem.
You
always are saying, get it off.
It's a problem. It's now conditioned me to look at the bottom of the screen in a way that I'm genuinely missing visual filmmaking.
So strange.
Because I'm like, you got to read.
Jason, that's so weird.
Let's talk about the moment when... So Sharon Stone is telling Stallone about his plan. I would imagine the plan is this. Sharon Stone finds a bomb expert, James Woods, tells James Woods, I need to kill these men. James Woods is like, I'll do that for you, but you need to get this person that I'm trying to get. So why don't you pretend like you don't have me? You get him the same way you got
so
me.
Complicated.
And then I'll get my payment is me getting him, and then we'll kill your people too.
Well, no, I don't know, because James Woods is working for Rod Steiger.
But I think she did the same thing. She reconned the first specialist because he's also a specialist and out of work specialist.
Yeah, but how do you find the specialists?
On that bulletin board.
Know. Well, they're Weekend Warriors.
Yeah, that seems to be their dark web thing. Mm. I think it's go on the dark web and you can find somebody.
But like, how do you even get that idea? Bombs.
It's absurd.
Well, she literally says they're more precise than
that's
guns.
That's not true.
But that's nobody's ever said that.
Like, it's like that.
No one's
you
ever
come
said
to
like
that conclusion.
I want revenge. I want to blow them up.
And so much so that she, her moment of like, finally, my job is done, is to face Eric Roberts while he explodes. She's in the room with him while he is exploded to death.
May Monroe.
And she says to Stallone afterwards, like, I knew your explosions were so controlled that I would be just fine. And I'm like, how?
What a risk.
She was too close. By the way,
so close.
Again, not to, you know, look, Stallone's got that cat in his apartment or warehouse, gear house. But he also put that coffee cup in a
that
tennis bag.
That cat's name is Timer. Cat's name is Timer. You know how I know that? The closed caption, he told me.
I also want to go back to the first bomb in the brothel. The first bomb in the brothel, the mini bomb, where the lowest tier guy that he has to kill.
He kills Brent Sexton from season 4 of Bosch, baby.
Yeah, Bosch.
Bosch is where it happens. I wrote that down too.
But I love that it goes, you've been stealing from me. You've been cooking the books. And then the reveal is, the whole month of September is gone. Like, that's a shitty way to cook the books. Like that you should be murdered. Yeah. You should be executed for that.
It's not like
that's
you're
not trimming out
the top.
That is erasing one of the 12 months.
Hey, can you imagine being like, oh, I didn't think you'd notice. An entire month is gone? And then the guy that kills him gets blown up by one of Stone's, like, mini bombs. And his head goes through the aquarium.
Oh, my God. That made me laugh like, so hard. It was a shoe in a head.
Incredible. Give me more of that.
And whose shoe? Stallone's at a bar talking to a sex worker. And is it her shoe that also flies off?
No, because it's the other woman's shoe. She's fixing her shoe in a scene. And I believe it is her shoe.
So she's
so
at the bar,
so precise,
and the vibration from
again,
the other room.
There's a lot of collateral damage in this movie.
There has to be. They're bombs. They're bombs.
And there doesn't seem to be any, like, aftermath. Like, the bombs happen, everyone's like, back to work.
But this is what we see the entire time. Like, James Woods is on a date with Sharon Stone. Or not James Woods. Yeah, no, Eric Roberts is on a date with Sharon Stone. He's like, hold on a second. Let me beat the shit out of this guy in this cafe. Like, there's multiple times he just walks away, pulls out a knife, beats somebody up. And it's like, no one reacts. Like, no one in that bar is like, oh, yeah, you just beat up my customer. It's like, no, it's cool. It's fine. Like, there's just ultra violence going on in Miami.
Also, I was like, is this how I get into a relationship? Be, like, completely disinterested in the man and, like, borderline mean to him? And then I'll be, like, moved into a big fancy place. Sharon Stone hated him.
Oh, yeah.
She sometimes gave him, like, I feel like the idea would be, like, look at him with, like, loving eyes. Mm-hmm. And then when he turns, be like, fuck you. But she gave the fuck you eyes.
Yes, she wouldn't wait till he turned. She'd be like, I love you.
I'll kill you. Here's what I'm going to say. Sharon Stone didn't need Sylvester Stallone. He is terrible at his job. She is so much better and has so many opportunities to kill Eric Roberts. She's like basically dating him seriously. They are pre-engaged. And she could have killed Eric Roberts at any point, and she has access to him fully. She doesn't even need Stallone. She's better at Stallone's job than he is. I think she just wants the bombs.
Well, I think that she wants to get all three, but she really didn't want to get all three. Because it's a double cross.
I'm still a little confused about what she was up to with James Woods and why that was necessary.
Well, it was a bit of a crisscross.
Yeah. This is my plan. Like, so my plan is that she's like, oh God, I need a bomb specialist. And she goes on that Weekend Warrior thing. James Woods like, hey, I'm your person. Tells her the story. He's like, I'll go down to Miami. I'll set myself up there. You pull out Stallone from the woodwork. You do that. So he's infiltrating that. She's getting Stallone telling him the same story. James Woods is like, I'm going to get you this. It's a full plan.
I guess. I'm just like, if I'm her, I'm like, can I just pay you? And if not, like, I'll go back on the site and try to find someone else.
James, yes. Basically, James Woods is using her to draw out Stallone, and she's using James Woods to get access to the Eric Roberts, the guys she wants to kill.
But I think I understand it. James Woods is like, this is going to cost a lot of money, but if you just pull out Stallone, I'll do it for free. Mm. And Stallone's like, I'll do it for free if it checks all my boxes, but it doesn't check all of his boxes.
I don't think Sharon Stone hired James Woods.
Well, no.
I think she did, though.
Yes, because she's...
there is like the double cross, like, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, she's like, my payment is you
Stallone.
Do this. Yeah.
Yes.
But she's reneging on that because she's falling in love with Stallone. And he's like, look, if all these guys die and I don't get Stallone, I'm killing you. And that's the only thing he can really do.
I don't know that I ever believed she was in love with Stallone.
Maybe if James Woods read a line in the script, we would understand the plot a little bit better.
Wait, you don't think they're in love as they ride away in that 64 Mustang with, what was the song that played? That was Unhinged.
Oh,
it was like,
wrap
me up before I go, go now. Like, what was it?
That was Turn the Beat Around.
That was wild.
The craziest ending.
A bunch of saxophones and horn music.
This is the craziest ending of any movie ever made.
It reminded me of Grease when they fly away.
Except this is in a boat.
Incredible.
Yes.
Like, what is
happening?
And again, I love that she blows up Rod Steiger with a locket. I doubt it. And then she drives them away. He's waiting in the car and she's like, let's go.
This is it. This is the final scene. Here we go. I thought he was opening up candies, but it's... He's like, oh yeah, what is this?
She's the hero.
Oh, this is wild.
This is irresponsible driving.
This is a movie about revenge, murder, and bombs, and this is how it ends. And by the way, I will say that Gloria Estefan's husband, Emilio Estefan Jr., has a small part as a piano player, and a few other members of the Miami Sound Machine are
Didn't
in the film.
Did he also compose the music for the film?
Oh, yes, he did, yes.
Oh, I saw that.
Wow, way to go, June, knowing that little detail. Let's quickly also just talk 1 second about this idea they set up, I hate knives. Stallone hates knives.
That was weird.
But then when he goes into that very dark kitchen.
Oh, that was so funny. He said, before I fight, better turn off these lights.
Turns off all the lights in the kitchen. And what does he grab? A knife. And uses it effectively. Like, to set up, it's like Indiana Jones goes like, I hate snakes. And then you put him in a situation where he's surrounded by snakes. It's like, oh, fuck, he's got to figure it out. He's like, well, I mean, I hate knives, but I'll use it. Not my preferred, you know.
Also, there was like a sink of boiling water.
Yeah.
I was like, what are they cooking in this?
Potatoes?
Like, what? It's so big. And then when that man gets in it, he's like. It made me laugh so hard. There were so many moments that I had to pause it and rewind it and be like, what the fuck happened?
I loved it.
I agree with you. And I will say that this movie oddly moved fast and very slow because at one point at 45 minutes in, I was like, shit, it's another hour and like 20 minutes. I was like, because it's like, it is moving at a clip, but it's almost like you're in quicksand. It's like people are flailing, but it's
so
not.
So many scenes that weren't needed. We didn't need that bus scene.
Well, no, it's the bus scene does nothing.
It doesn't move the plot, nothing.
And but it's obvious, and it's arguably, like, once again, bad for Stallone. He shouldn't be making this much of a spectacle of himself if he wants to remain quiet off the grid. The reason he takes the bus is to be an invisible ghost, but then he can't, like, clobber 6 guys on the bus.
Well, can I also say, like, and again, I'm not trying to defend these gentlemen, but
it
felt
sounds like you are.
I know I'm against kids and punks, but there's a moment where basically this guy took another woman's seat, rude, and then he goes, hey, can you get up? He goes, fuck you. It seems like the penalty was very high for that. Like, it seems like to be kicked out of a bus window.
With
like,
I, open
again, I'm not
seats.
Saying it's good.
There was an open seat.
Yeah.
Where he came from was now an open seat.
I didn't see that.
She could have sat right here.
I didn't.
He slid
that.
Right on over and left a seat for someone else to sit in.
This bit of violence was unnecessary.
It was unhinged.
I thought that guy was also harassing a young woman on the bus. So he there was that.
I get it.
I did not realize there was an open seat.
Yes, a fully open seat.
Like, when he says that line, Nicole, that you said, like, I believe there's a vacancy. Like, she should have been like, get away from me, you monster.
Yes.
Yeah, I just watched you kill three people on a bus so that I could have a seat. Like, I don't want to be a part of your nightmare.
I want to see, like, the after scene of that where it's like, wait, is the bus gonna go? And the bus driver's like, no, I have to file a report now. Like,
But when that lady handed him back the glasses, she seemed a little turned on.
The pregnant lady?
The lady, when she gave back the glasses, she was just like, here are your glasses. I think she liked it.
She didn't see any of his vascularity.
Oh my God.
Did anyone have any issues, and we'll kind of come to the audience
probably
in 1 second, with Sharon Stone taking off all of her clothes and sitting naked in like a chaise lounge?
Yeah, it was fucking weird.
What shocked me about that scene was I was like, oh, I think she's naked. But then when she gets up and you see her breath, I was like, oh, it was so unnecessary to see her naked in that scene.
Respectfully, I disagree. Sharon Stone naked on the phone with Stallone trying to peep out the window to see if he's in the phone booth across from her apartment was electric.
That's when he's in the doc phone booth. That's when he's in the little baby doc.
Like, Lizzie, yes. I was saying to Paul, I was like, the idea of like coming home to relax and just taking off your top and taking off your bra and just sitting, you know, is so absurd to me. I'm like, I get taking off your bra immediately.
But she keeps her shoes on.
I know, it's just, it's so wildly uncomfortable that I just kept looking at her and thinking like, oh, put on a tank top, like just put on something. That's, we all know that's very uncomfortable.
I didn't realize her shoes were on. That's so funny. Oh, I gotta free these titties, but ooh, gotta keep the dogs locked up.
You're good.
It also
really
looks like she threw the dress in the trash can. Like she's like, that dress.
Entire wardrobe is single use.
Like Tobey Maguire in his underpants.
I was obsessed with everything she wore. Mm-hmm. I loved the fact that she was in an evening gown and a scrunchie.
I
loved it.
I wish everybody else was in the, well, James Woods might have been, I was going to say, was in the same movie that Sharon Stone is in.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is firing on all cylinders. And imagine if you will, this is what I was going to say earlier. Imagine if you will, instead of an aged Sylvester Stallone for this, you know, dynamic, what if it was young Nicolas Cage as the specialist? Trained by, or somebody, I don't know, somebody else, somebody younger, somebody.
So picture this scene with the two of them yelling then.
Come on, talk to me. You sell your service to the highest bidder, won't you, you stinking maggot?
These women
fuck
are terrified.
Fuck you, Ray, fuck you! You killed!
We did that lady, this one.
Your bones! 5, 10, 50, 100 before you lost count was your bombs.
Who's
he talking
to? By
the way, look at this guy. Oh, Jesus. And
this
by
is like,
the way,
this is like take 35. James Woods is just like, I'm going to go to my trailer for 5 minutes and then I'm coming back and I'm going to be brilliant.
In Bogota, you're bombing a cabana. But you're getting sloppy, Ray. You broke your famous code, didn't you? You killed an innocent
Can you pause right
Ray.
There for a second? His watch is on the outside of his sleeve. What's happening?
God, that is
this
so
is
funny.
Movie star shit. Like, they said to Stallone, we can't see your watch. And he's like, fuck you, director. I'll put it on the outside. Like, this is like a pissing contest. He's mad.
God.
Or, yo, I think the opposite. I think Stallone is like, I want to be, I got to know it's a minute in. I'm going to be traced, so I need a watch. And they're like, well, yeah, but it would be under all your clothes. He'd be like, oh, put it outside.
I love it. I really do hope it was like his choice. He's like, yeah, I see it.
Really I think if it's 1994 and it's a Sylvester
Stallone,
I think everything is his choice.
Here, did you watch a little bit more James Woods?
Oh, didn't you? You killed an innocent bystander, Ray. And it's just eating you up inside, isn't it? Well, you were always too fucking sensitive. But guess what? I'm coming, Ray. I'm coming to take all the pain away. I'm gonna
Can you pause for one
right
second, Paul?
You, and I'm gonna close you.
I believe they are in love. More so,
that's interesting.
More so than Sharon yes. Stone and Sylvester Stone, because I believe my headcanon for this movie is that Sharon Stone is playing everybody. Stallone, Woods, everybody. She gets her way.
Her parents.
The entire parents. She's the one that ratted them out to the Colombians. She's like, this is exactly what I wanted. Like, she seems to me to be the most capable person in this movie. Because these two, Woods and Stallone, are clearly involved in some sort of, like, nightmare, decades-long romance.
Yeah. Psychosexual something, yeah.
In my hand, I'm right behind you, and I know you. I know
yep,
you.
Yep, right behind you.
He said, I'm going to hold your heart in my hand. That's romance.
Yeah.
Right, time's up, 58 seconds.
Yeah, and I think...
Right. I hope...
Stallone might be the bottom in their relationship.
What is he doing? Why is he wrecking the recording?
I love that woman. Terrified.
She's the only one reacting to the environment.
Just watch her, please. Just
give her an Oscar.
Like, yeah, she's the only one.
I love her.
She's out acting James Woods on every level.
That's the shirt for the show. That woman's fake. Let's go to the audience. Let's see what questions you all have. In this movie, they hide bombs and lots of things. Teacups, cigarette cases, bridges. Where would you hide your bomb is my question to all of you. And just ask me your question. Raise your hand if you have a good question. Anybody? Okay, yeah, right here. What's your name?
Matt.
Matt, and where would you hide your bomb?
In an earpiece.
Ooh, that would be
in
tricky.
In an
okay.
earpiece? Damn.
All right, what's your question?
So at the end, the bomb truck explodes. Did he have a bomb on there the entire movie just waiting for them to show up?
Oh, that is interesting. Because at the end of the movie, everything...
Wait, what was it?
So at the end, the bomb truck explodes.
Yeah.
So did he have a bomb like there the entire movie in the bomb truck? Like, because everything explodes at the end.
I assumed it was like underneath, or he seemed to have made the entire gear factory and its environs into a live bomb scenario. I felt like he could explode anything in that area. You know, the same way that he was somehow able to explode the top floor of that building. He and James Woods seem to have the raw materials for the most subtle bombs on their person at all times.
But yet they're blowing up a fucking giant bridge when we meet them. Like, it should have been like, he's leaving in that car with, like, they could have just, the way that this movie acts, they could have blown up the drug dealer and the daughter would have been fine because his bombs are so precise. It only gets the front seat. You know, it's like, that's it. But they decide to, like, rig two parts of it. Like, that seems so wildly big. And is maybe the idea being that he used to do big bombs, and now he does small bombs?
Because of what happened, if he could have only blown up the front seat, he's got to live with that.
And I will say, the damning look of that girl, that girl looks at him like, you're going to kill me.
And you know, like, sometimes in movies you could tell, like, they couldn't make her that young because it would be, it would devastate us as an audience. You know, but they couldn't make her... like a preteen either. Like, she was exactly the age where we were going to have to be okay with it.
See, I'm like, you know what? I don't love it, but I'm cool if an 11-year-old dies.
Yeah.
They've lived 11 years. That's enough.
All right. Your name?
Melissa.
Melissa, welcome, Melissa. Where would you put your bomb?
Definitely on that stinky-ass shower floor.
Yes. And your question?
Okay, sorry. Cut the sound if it's wrong, but when James Woods was interrogating the Miami PD's bomb squad, was that Greg Brady from the original Brady Bunch?
Oh, somebody was thinking that too.
It looked a lot like him.
Let's say
it
yes.
It looks a lot like him.
Great question. We'll never be cut out. Don't ever correct it. I don't want any correction or omission on the Discord about that. It's Greg Brady. We all knew it. We all agreed to it. Be cool.
This movie takes place in the Bradyverse.
That was Barry Williams, and if anyone says differently, we will bomb you. Okay, your name?
Nina.
Nina, and where would you put your bomb?
In the telephone booth.
Okay, great. Oh, nice. Cute. All right, where? You can put it in any, you don't have to put it in the movie. You can put it anywhere. You can, all right, so, all right, okay, what's your question?
Okay, so there is a scene where Rod Steiger's trying to get up off the couch, and the police, like, chief guy is, like, helping him up. Whose idea you think it was to keep that in the movie?
Well, Rod Steiger nails it with what is clearly an improvised line where he goes, I hate these deep couches. I hate these deep couches. I love that this movie is taking a stand. Give us shallow couches or give us no couches at all.
All right, well, we heard from the audience there, and now it is time for second opinions.
Timer the cat, assassins, you hire a nap. I want you to hang up in 58 seconds. This way he cannot be tracked. XCIA, hired by someone named May. It turns out that Ned set up Ray, and bombs are their favorite way. Oh, Stallone's a specialist. You know I have no notes to give you. Did you all get a boner too? You know it gets a 5-star review. Amazon, this is true. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5 stars.
Amazing.
Great.
Thank you. All right. Let me tell you, these are second opinions pulled from Amazon, and they are wild. Wild, okay? This gets an average 4 out of 5 stars on Amazon, where there's over 1,000 reviews. 76% are 5-star reviews.
Wow.
But I'm going to kind of bullet through them because they are all one sentence. So here we go. I'm just going to speed. I'm going to speed right through them. Here we go. Bob writes, reminds me of when I lived on the Miami River on a 51-foot trawler. Beautiful cinematography. Sharon Stone isn't too bad either. 5 stars. Amazon customer writes, honestly, it's not a particularly great movie, but it's got a Porsche 968 in it, so it's good enough for me. 5 stars. DLG writes, critics did not rate this film well. They must have been men, because this is a woman's fantasy. 5 stars. And that sentiment continues when someone writes, I enjoyed this movie. Great bodies and beautiful people in a beautiful Miami setting. Yes, it's a woman's movie in spite of the action.
What?
5 stars.
I get it. I do get it. It's because you're seeing Stallone's body all sexual and shit.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it a woman's movie,
well,
though.
I think it's like the romance is for the ladies, and that's like heavy in the movie, and then the bombs are for the boys, so they stick around.
Jason, you missed people calling this a woman's movie in the 5-star reviews.
Well, I do feel like this exists in the fried green tomatoes verse.
Yeah. It's like Steel Magnolias. Okay.
Steel Magnolias, fried green tomatoes, the specialist.
Like the specialist.
It's a trilogy right. For the ages. They've all got Roberts's in them.
A couple of fun facts about this movie. Eric Roberts, only 2 years older than Sharon Stone. But he was supposed to have killed her parents when she was a child. Okay. Stallone said the secret to their shower scene was bringing a bottle of Black Death vodka up to the set that was given to him by Michael Douglas. And after a half a dozen shots, we were wet and wild.
I don't like that.
Nope.
No.
Nope, 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 nope.
I don't like it from a safety standpoint.
Not at all.
That's why they were on the floor.
Yeah, they were like, we don't
they
can't
stand up anymore. We gotta lay down and do this.
There's a real like history in Hollywood about Stallone being kind of tricked and conned by producers and other actors. The most famously, Schwarzenegger read a really bad script called Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. And he's like, get the rumor out there that I want to do it. So Stallone will try to steal it from me. And then he'll do this real shitball movie. And then he did. And Stallone never wanted to do the movie. It was just to fuck with him. And it's been like, they have a history. So in this movie, like Stallone was kind of playing hardball. And the producer said, hey, look, if you don't decide in 15 minutes, Warren Beatty wants to do this movie. And he's like, all right, I'm in. So, and Warren Beatty was never attached or anywhere near the movie.
How much did it make?
Well, I'll get to that in 1 second, how much
hey,
it made.
Hey, guy, relax.
Wow. He just
this
really
like,
needs
hey,
to
get
know.
To the pool. I've been watching this whole show. I want to know how much
it made. That's top
numbers.
To
hey, log on to
Google
Box Office Mojo,
guy. He's got
to hear
the ball.
I didn't come here for jokes. I came here for Box Office.
Bullshit. Let's get the metrics going. It's the data.
Give me that data dump. Give me above the line and below the line costs.
Before tonight's
show
started...
You're an asshole, guy. Wrap the show up. I got a sitter. Give me the box office and let me out of this place. I'm done with this show. I came for box office and I got bupkis so far.
For some context, before the show started... We played the trailer to The Specialist. And when Jason came out here, he said, Paul, were you upset that James Woods did not get billing in the sequence in the credits? Like that he's one of the lead characters in the movie. There's a good reason for that. Stallone demanded that James Woods' scenes were to be cut out of the film. And some of his scenes to be reshot so Stallone would have more screen time. He was worried that Woods would steal the movie away from him because he was a better actor than him. And Stallone also did the same thing to Rutger Hauer on Nighthawk. So that is the
Rutger
reason
Hauer
why...
Rutger Hauer was in two Hawk-based movies?
Lady
also
Hawk and Night
Lady Hawk.
And wow. Here's the thing that I found most interesting before we get to how much it made.
Are you okay, my guy? Are you okay to wait a couple more seconds?
Before there was a blacklist. A blacklist is this amazing thing that Franklin Leonard does where he like polls people in Hollywood. What are the best scripts that aren't made? And there's a list and it can help screenwriters really get to the top of the heap. You know, it's just about who has a great script. The Los Angeles Times did something similar to that. And in 1993... The Los Angeles Times listed The Specialist as the best unproduced wow. thriller script in Hollywood based on a poll of 40 agents, producers, and studio executives. So this movie was a hot commodity, and it had a budget of $45 million.
Ooh, opening. All your dreams are coming
okay,
true!
Hey, get ready!
Ooh, we're talking those numbers, Paul! What do we got? A budget of what?
45
Wow, wow,
million.
Wow, wow, wow.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
That's suspense. We're getting closer.
The opening weekend was 14.3.
Oh, God.
And the full domestic gross.
Oh, dump it all on me. Give me the whole fucking number, Paul.
57.4 million.
Okay.
The worldwide gross, 170 million. Adjusted for inflation, $347 million.
Wow.
That's like in, Avatar.
Came in number 21 in the top 200 films of 1991, and that's a year where The Lion King, Forrest Gump, and True Lies comes out. This movie beat Time Cop, Disclosure, The Shadow, Junior, Color of Night, Street Fighter, Ghost in the Machine, and Double Dragon.
It beat all of those movies?
Yep. It came in number 21. And the tagline is, killing is his profession, revenge is her goal. Together, they take on the battle against the underworld mafia. Kind of got...
That's the longest tagline.
By the way, terrible tagline.
And here's the alt tagline. The government taught him to kill. Now he's using his skills to help a woman seek revenge against the Miami.
These are like poems. These are not taglines.
They're haiku.
Here's a better tagline. She's hot, but inexplicably, he's naked.
She's hot, he's not. Boom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye would have been the best tagline.
Holy shit.
Bye-bye.
Well, we really got into the specialist. Nicole, we have talked on our show about your show, Grant Crew, which is amazing show on Peacock and Netflix. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Oh, Grand Crew is about six friends who hang out in a bar and we drink and we fuck and we talk about life and relationships. And it's like, it's silly. It's a very silly throwback to the 90s. It's a fun show.
It's a great ensemble. And we talked to Phil and Carl on Last Looks. Where are you on your wine drinking journey?
Oh, well, last night I drank half a bottle of wine after I had like, I don't know, 8 vodka sodas. It was bad. It was bad. I woke up this morning and I was like, I'm unwell. And then went into my
and
kitchen.
Then you had
and I was,
to watch this movie?
I'm so sorry.
I was so hungover just being like, well, this is good. It was honestly really nice to watch it hungover.
That's the way that they shot the shower scene.
Yeah, more or less.
Nicole, anything else you want to plug? Your podcast?
Oh, yeah, I got podcasts, Why Won't You Date Me, Best Friends, 90 Day Bay. I'm, like, working out material in D.C. and Denver. And you could just go to my Instagram and hit the link in the bio. I don't know the dates.
I love it. That's great. June, I know you and I are very excited about this show that we're on, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur on Disney Plus. It's actually fantastic. It's a great show. Really, really fun.
I'm so excited. And also, Paul, you'll be at it. Bitch Sesh and the Deep Dive is hosting a show / pickleball tournament / extravaganza called I'd Hit That on May 13th. So if you're in Los Angeles or traveling to Los Angeles and you want to buy tickets, you can head to janeclub.com/pickleball and come to the show. Paul will be our celebrity DJ and MC, and it's going to be so much fun.
May 13th.
I will shout out, even though I'm not in it, John Wick 4. Get involved.
Wait, you went to a movie theater?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry about it, but go see this movie.
Can you? I can't afford the three. I can't find those 3 hours. I need to talk to your source. God damn it.
Also, I play a recurring part in the Netflix show Agent Elvis. That is an animated show.
Cut out of that show.
What's that?
I was cut out of that show.
Really?
I was recording my voice and I was like, they're going to cut me. I wasn't doing whatever they wanted me to do. And I've had this experience twice in my life. And I was feeling it. And then like a couple months later, like, we're going to recast you.
Well,
that.
Listen, it sounds like we're still in Moon Girl.
And Devil Dinosaur.
Yes.
I will say congratulations on the pickup of Star Trek Lower Decks, which is fantastic. And I will please urge people to watch Star Trek Prodigy, the show that I am on, which is absolutely fantastic and needs your eyeballs. Get involved.
And I'll also say, if you like Star Trek Picard season 3, don't worry about 1 and 2. It's great. But more importantly, Dungeons and Dragons, the movie, is good. You saw it there.
Okay.
Right?
I hate medieval shit. It makes me like really upset.
Yeah.
But I was not upset watching that movie.
It's a fucking comedy. It's really funny. It's really good.
Wait, why does medieval shit make you upset?
It makes me so mad. Because I could just imagine how stinky they are.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
Like, there's no like hems. Everything's like jagged and nasty. And they got stupid fucking belts and there's like rocks everywhere.
I agree. The belts are stupid.
I'm not here for it.
I agree with you that they made medieval stuff look nicer. It was better.
But the jokes made me happy. I was like, these people look like trash, but like, it's funny and I'm not angry.
A lot of funny, funny jokes. Like, really a great surprise cameos.
They make a choice with this dragon that made me laugh so hard. I don't want to ruin it.
They have a cameo in it that was shocking, and the scene plays out like this drama in the middle of this comedy movie. It's beautifully done. Anyway.
Wait, can I say one last thing?
Yeah, please.
I thought it was really interesting when they were running at the end and the bombs were going off like in front and behind them. Sharon Stone yelped every time a bomb went off.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of concerned. I was like, are these happening too close to her?
Yes.
Did they rehearse? I was like,
well,
they
I kind of liked it because it gave me like a human reaction to bombs. Like, this movie is like bombs go off all the time. Like, it's like a doorbell. Yeah. Like, she's like, oh, fuck. Like, she should be jumping.
Another, a tiny bit of evidence that this is really a love story between Stallone and Woods is the "you're the rigger, I'm the trigger." That is
very
the most
sexy
romantic line in the movie. That's what the movie's about. You're the rigger, I'm the trigger. James Woods is saying in the whole movie, why don't you see I'm in love with you?
Yeah.
You're the rigger, I'm the trigger.
Should that be the shirt?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, that may be it.
Yes.
You're the rigger, I'm the trigger, in a silhouette of both their faces. I love this. Nicole, so great to have you back.
Hey, would you recommend the movie?
Oh.
But before we go.
Hey, lady.
But before
Talk
we go,
to that
would we
guy
recommend
the box office?
Sometimes I feel like this question is we've already gone through it.
I mean, I think that's clear. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Will we recommend the movie?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Give it up for our amazing crew up in the booth. We have a producer, our sound engineer, got new live engineers up there. It's an amazing group. They put the show together every week. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, June. Thank you, Jason. We'll be back in April for a 3-night run and then back in May. And come see Dinosaur April 15th. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
The show may be over, but it continues next week on Last Looks. That's right. We want you to join us on Last Looks to tell us all the things that we might have messed up, that we might have gotten wrong, and you get a chance to prove that you are better than us. You can do that very simply by going to our Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm, or you can call me at 619-PAULASK. I also run a very impromptu advice line. So if you have any problems, I am there to solve them. Normally, I'm joined by Jason on Last Looks. So tune into Last Looks to hear interviews with some of our great past guests, some deleted scenes, and so much more, including what we're watching next week. You know what? If you're a big How Did This Get Made fan, that means you must have some merch. And if you need our merch, go to teepublic.com/stores/HDTGM. That's teepublic.com. You can find us online, everywhere, on any kind of social platform at HDTGM. And if you really just want to go old school, check out our website at HDTGM.com. That has links to everything you could possibly imagine. But this show, what you're listening to right here, couldn't be done without a couple of things. First of all, you listening, but more importantly, I'm talking about the amazing producerial work of Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, and our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineer, Alex Gonzalez, and our publisher, July Diaz. People, they make the trains run, and we love them. So, we will see you next week for Last Looks, and until then, bye for now.